You know, in today's world, it seems the best treatment is reserved only for a few. Well, Discover wants to change that by making everyone feel special. That's why with your Discover card, you have access to 24/7 live customer service as well as $0 fraud liability, which means you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases. Finally, no matter who you are or where you are in life, you'll feel special with Discover. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard. Limitations apply.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Oh, man.
Who's number four?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
It's an end around to Debo Samuel coming right, turns the corner.
Keyshawn Nixon on the interception.
Wilson escapes the sack, throws left side of the end zone.
Yes!
It's intercepted.
Earlier on the show, two-time Super Bowl champion and Greenlight podcast host Chris Long. Coming up, ESPN college football analyst Desmond Howard. Plus your phone calls and more. And now. It's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We've had a fun 2 hours talking about the College Football Playoff Committee Final Four, their decision, and why I believe they made their decision, what decision I thought they should have made. And Chris Long of Greenlight Podcast discussed that in Week 13 with what the Eagles look like, the Niners, and what that win means, and what he thinks the Chiefs' loss to the Packers means for both teams. If you missed any of that, we re-air right here on the Roku channel as soon as we are done. Same thing for everybody who wants to listen to us on our podcast version of the show. You can get it there. Our YouTube feed has select videos on it. Same thing with our video on demand service as part of our relationship with Roku. As soon as we're done with this hour, Chris Brockman and I stay after class for the latest edition of the Overreaction Monday podcast. Keep an eye out for that in your or an ear out for that in your podcast feeds. And if you don't know about it already, where you been? Brockman and Del Tufo in their usual spots, TJ Jefferson in his spot. I'm curious, Chris, TJ,
yes.
What were you thinking as a Cowboy fan watching the 49ers dismantle the Eagles?
Whew.
Seriously.
I mean, you know, it was kind of twofold, right? On one hand, you're like, I need to eat, like last week with the Bills, I need the Eagles to lose so we can gain some ground on them, right? So you're like, you want them to lose, but then you're looking at how they're losing and who they're losing to. And as I've said many times, Rich, that Niner hurdle is one the Cowboys haven't been able to clear lately. So the other half is like, dag, man, really?
Yep.
So you want, you know, you want the Eagles to lose, but the other hand, it's like,
well, in order to avoid going to San Francisco again, you need to have a better record than San Francisco, unless you're not winning your division even with that better record. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
To avoid going to San Francisco again, you've got to get the one seed. And in order to do that, you've got to have a better record than San Francisco, which the Eagles could have helped you do right here on the spot. Instead, though, the problem is you need to catch Philadelphia in order for having a better record than San Francisco to matter. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, that's a lot.
That's a lot, but it's the truth. So now what you got is the ability to get past San Francisco, I mean, past Philadelphia potentially by beating them next week. Okay, I don't know what the tiebreak after that would be, conference record, right? And your problem is the Eagles' conference losses are just one now, because I still can't believe there are other losses to the Jets.
It's unbelievable.
It's the most head-scratching result of the season.
But again,
right.
that and Carolina beating Houston. Like,
true.
How did that happen?
I don't have an answer.
But like we said earlier in the show, Dallas has a very tough stretch of games coming up. And, you know, there's four games they could very well take an L in. So, I don't know, man. It's going to be interesting. You know what I mean? Interesting stretch of games coming up.
Yeah.
Dallas is Philly, Buffalo, Miami, Detroit. That's before ending the season with Washington.
So that's tough, man. Look,
that's tough.
I think you just need to steel yourself that you're going to have to go to San Francisco again.
Yeah.
Look, here's the bottom line.
You could go to Philadelphia instead again and hope that, Green Bay would knock off, or Minnesota, or the Rams would knock off San Francisco.
Yeah.
I don't
look. I, you know, if, we're just concentrating.
You know,
on
after
Eagles
a bye, right? I don't. I know you got to take it one at a time, yeah, but I'm just what I'm wondering.
If,
I don't know. That's where my head would be. Desmond Howard going to join us shortly. Jeff in Texas, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Jeff?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much for taking my call, Rich. Been a long time fan of you.
Thank you.
And your show.
Thank you.
And I want to talk about my Cowboys, man. Kind of piggybacking off of what TJ was saying. You know, I kind of feel the same way. As much as I was excited to see the 49ers beat the Eagles, at the same time, once the game was over and reality kicked in, it kind of made me feel like the guy on the kickbox movie with Jean-Claude Van Damme when he was telling Van Damme, when he was trying to look for Tom Poe, hey, you're not good enough. Right about now, I need all of Cowboys fans to basically punch the brakes, Michael Irvin included, because, yeah, they're a juggernaut, dude. I felt like for the last 3 years we're probably two players and a coach away from winning it all, but as much as it hurts me to say it, that's just what it is.
Well, your coach is dialing up the plays like crazy. This offense did not look this way under Kellen Moore, and they were the number one offense last year. They've kicked it up a notch, and Dak has kicked it up a notch, and CeeDee Lamb has kicked it up a notch. You cannot complain about Mike McCarthy's handling of the play calling in the offense, and he's handed everything off to Dan Quinn.
Let me rephrase that. I can.
You can.
But at the same time, I can't, too. But I also am really concerned about his time management. That's the biggest issue I have.
No, I hear you.
Yeah. Time management.
I hear you. And as you know, the last couple seasons have ended in mind-blowing fashion. So I appreciate the call, Jeff. That's Jeff in Texas.
Yeah, take it one game at a time, Jeff.
I guess, for sure. Let's go to Spencer in North Carolina. You're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Spencer?
Hey, fellas. Happy Monday.
Same to you.
What's up, man?
So I'm still in mourning for my Florida State Seminoles, but I think there's a bigger issue that a lot of people are glossing over. Jordan Travis being injured is one thing, but when Tate Rodemaker got concussed and we put our third string in and won, it almost sends a message to teams that if your star player is hurt and you're riding on winning big and having style points, why not just say, oh, he's fine and he can play? I mean, we saw a similar situation in the NFL with Tua last year where he was concussed, came back in the game and played on a short week and then got hit again. And it almost looked like his career could have been over at that point. So now you're putting these kids in a position where they feel like they have to go out if they're injured and play and compete in a game just because winning isn't enough. You have to win by a lot. And I just think that that's dangerous for the game, especially when we're promoting player safety and cracking down on targeting. And I just don't think it sends a very good message to the kids.
I just don't think it sends a message good to the kids that, you know, hey, defense, the guy who ran your offense is out. So sorry, even though you might be one of the best defensive units in the sport, if not arguably the best, you don't get to play for the championship. I'm sorry. You also don't get an opportunity to maybe Florida State rides you to the championship because we think your offense will end up getting boat raced and then you're out. Correct. I mean, that's exactly the way what it was. And we all understand. Thank you for the call. You know how much money's on the line. And as Chris points out, it's now a television show. So we saw it coming. I think we talked about it on Friday, right?
It was easy to see. Once
if the storm
once Alabama
coming,
beat Georgia, you could see how it's going to play out. Yeah,
you know,
could see it.
So it kind of stinks.
It stinks for Florida State. Well,
we'll never know. We'll never know if they could have gone on a run. They could have, you know, held Michigan off the scoreboard. Look what Iowa did. Honestly, if
they
Iowa didn't give
in score,
Iowa didn't give up that. If Iowa did not give up that huge punt return in the first half, it might have been 3-0 at halftime, right? Correct? Might have been. We'll see. Joining us here now on the Rich Eisen Show from College Game Day is one of my favorite people on planet Earth. He makes me happy. Look at your face there. There's Desmond Howard from ESPN College Game Day, and of course one of the only few people on planet Earth with a Super Bowl MVP and Heisman Trophy in the trophy case. How are you, Desmond? Good to see you.
It's always great to join one of my favorite people on earth, and it's always a pleasure to do your show. So thanks for having me, my man, Rich. I'm doing fantastic, brother. I'm doing great.
So what are your two cents on the college football playoff committee decision, Desmond?
Yeah, well, Rich, I look at it this way. I guess I look at it from a player's lens, so to speak, a former player's lens. And, you know, you have a checklist, and you're like, go undefeated, win a conference championship, play a competitive non-conference schedule. Like, that's one thing that we've always talked about. We've talked about people's team schedules and, okay, well, they have the cupcakes during the non-conference schedule, so they didn't challenge themselves, they didn't play anybody. And that was like a real like a point of emphasis a few years ago. And now you have teams taking challenges like Florida State. Who they play? They play LSU. Actually, they played two SEC schools. They also played the Florida Gators. And won both games. So it's like, as a player, you're listening to all of this and everything you're supposed to do, and as a coach too, and you take that risk, you go, you play LSU early in the season, you knock them off, and you run the table, you win the conference championship, and you've done everything you can do. And it seems as though they keep moving the goalposts. And it's just unfair. It's unfortunate, because I believe that they did everything that was asked of them as a program to earn the right. Because, you know, people talk about, is it the most deserving team or the best team? Well, you don't deserve anything that you did not earn. If you didn't earn it, then you don't deserve it. So when they start to, you know, play that word game, I'm always of the belief that, you know, it's hard to say the best team, because who you think may be the best team, I may think a little differently, right? So that's why you start to come with this criteria, and you have these metrics. So now you start to look at teams, and you base them on things that are similar or things that are common, not just the eye test, meaning I think this team looks better. So I thought Florida State did everything that they could possibly do, everything within their power. I thought that the excuse about the quarterback getting hurt is very weak, because it's not like he got in. Well, listen, Jordan Travis went out. We get that. He's not coming back. But Tate Rodemaker, he was concussed. So I'm thinking, Rich, like within 4 weeks, he could be back playing. So it's just that whole quarterback excuse didn't sit well with me. We've seen opportunities in the past where a team may have lost their starting quarterback and the backup quarterback came in and he played great and they won a national championship. So all of that to me was just an excuse just to get an SEC team in the college football playoffs.
So I was going to ask you, so you would have had Alabama out, Florida State in? Is what you're saying?
Florida State would have been it would have been a flip between Alabama and Texas, because both are sitting there with one loss.
Right. And Texas beat Alabama. So but honestly, right. I would have thought, and again, just to make sure that, you know, I'm accused of being a homer. This is
me
nothing.
Too.
I know that. I watch ESPN. used to be on it. That I would have put Texas 4. I would have put Texas 4, yeah. Florida State 3 against Washington, and then Michigan, yeah. Texas in the Rose Bowl, like 2005. Everybody forgets Vince Young beat us in the Rose Bowl, or Michigan in the Rose Bowl the year before the classic USC-Texas matchup in that wonderful house.
Exactly.
So that's what I would have done if for the right thing. But I understand Alabama is the SEC, and that rules roosts, and they're, you know, one of these is not like the other, as the great Commissioner Sankey says. I hear all that Sesame Street talk, you know. So I understand.
Wasn't that amazing?
One of these is not like the other. I know.
Wow.
But I, you know, I also know that what the magic number is, and it's the bag that this sport brings in. I don't know, man. That's what I would have done. What do you think of the matchups, though, now that we know what they are? What do you got for me between the Rose and the Sugar here, Desmond?
Well, let's start with the sugar because I can't remember a time, and I'm no historian, where Texas played Washington. Maybe they've played before. I can't remember the matchups. I think that game is so unique and so rare that that's just a beautiful matchup. I mean, those two teams, if they've played before, I don't know when it happened, but it was so long ago that it's good to see those two on the field again together. I'm looking forward to that. You're looking at a Washington team that people started to really doubt after the first win against Oregon. And Vegas had them damn near 10-point dog against Oregon in the Pac-12 championship. And they went out there and they out-physicaled the Ducks and won in a convincing way. So that was good to see. Kudos to Michael Penix Jr. and that team. And but then you look at Texas, man, and Sarkisian, he's a hell of a coach. And obviously Quinn Ewers, has been, last year didn't have the season that he wanted to have, but he thought he would have. The kid dropped a lot of weight, started taking his health very seriously, started taking his craft very seriously, dropped weight, married his girlfriend, became laser focused and committed, and came out the first game, obviously, and beat Alabama in Tuscaloosa. And then it got injured a little bit, missed a couple of games. But, I mean, just the transition that he's made, the transformation that he's done from year one to year two as a starter has been incredible. And he has a lot of weapons around him, too. So that's going to be a good matchup. And then the Rose Bowl. So Michigan's headed back to the Rose Bowl. Haven't been there in a long time. And I guess my biggest concern is, Zinter not being there, best offensive lineman. And you're talking about a group that prides itself on dominating the trenches. I mean, that's Michigan football. They want to dominate the trenches. And this is going to be a tall task based on what I saw against Iowa. No, can't take anything away from Iowa. I hope your listeners and viewers that they understand that Iowa is one of the best defenses in all of college football.
No doubt.
Like, not the Big Ten, like all of college football. It is not because they have, like, a roster, a defensive lineup littered with 4- and 5-star players. That's not the case. They're just one of the best coached, most disciplined defensive units you will ever come across in college football. So it's always going to be hard to score on them. The problem is they just don't have an offense, and that's been their issue. So to watch Michigan's offense without Zinter, they had to reshuffle some offensive linemen, was like, okay, they'll figure it out, because I think Michigan's a really good second-half team. They make great adjustments. But now they're about to go up against a different type of animal with the offensive line and defensive lines of Alabama.
No doubt. So what do you think? What do you think is going to happen? What do you think is going to be in Houston?
What do you got? Well, they got 4 weeks to figure this out, okay, to get the line together. Okay. I think that Sherrone Moore is very creative offensive coordinator. I think that having Coach Harbaugh back is a huge lift for the team. But the flip side is that Jalen Milroe.
He's so good.
Yeah. But he's up and down, too. Like, people forget the Auburn game because it was 4th-and-31, and they threw a Hail Mary and won that game. Like, so they kind of forget the plays before that and how he played before that. So he's a guy who, man, I mean, when he's hot, he's incredible. But when he's not hot, he's like he leaves you scratching your head. Like, what was he looking at? What did he see? And I do believe that our defensive coordinator, Jesse Minter, is one of the best in college football. I don't know if you read this, but after the Ohio State game, Marvin Harrison Jr. came out and said that he said that they threw coverages at us that I had never seen before, and that really kept us kind of confused. With that being said, I think that the back end is going to have to really confuse Jalen Milroe, which I do believe that they have the talent and the scheme to do that, and have him hold the ball till the rush gets there. Now, they're going to have to make a tackle on this man, because this dude is built like a linebacker, brother. So once the rush gets there, they're going to have to try to bring him down, because he's extremely athletic. Like I said, built like a linebacker, runs hard, fast, and he's a problem when he gets rolling.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so, yeah, I saw that what Marvin Harrison Jr. said. Michigan's defense treated Marvin Harrison Jr. like the Pro Bowl receiver he might be right now. You know, like that, right. That he better get used to seeing that type of stuff because he's about to see it
exactly.
Coming up next year for sure. And so who's going to get your Heisman vote, Desmond? What do you got?
Well, Rich, you know, you're my guy. And if there's anybody I would tell who's going to get my vote, it would be you.
Okay.
I have three guys. I tell you this. So going into this, you know, championship weekend, mm-hmm. the talk was about Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr. and how this is going to be a golden opportunity for them, one or the other, to separate himself from Jaden Daniels at LSU, who's been outstanding every game this year. Like, there hasn't been a game where he had a bad game. Like, he's been outstanding from beginning to end. And I don't think, you know, either one made a statement in that game. Obviously, Bo Nix didn't. Even in a, you know, sometimes in a losing cause, like Jaden Daniels, you still can be that guy who people walk away talking about his performance. You didn't walk away talking about Bo Nix's performance in the loss in the Pac-12 championship game. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Dylan Johnson may have gotten the MVP of the Pac-12 championship game. So it's not like Michael Penix Jr. went out there and lit it up either. So to me, those are the three. I think they're going to bring a fourth one. They might just want to bring a fourth one. But those are the three. Jaden Daniels, LSU, Michael Penix Jr., Washington, and Bo Nix from Oregon.
Yeah, and no surprise here, while we're having this conversation, Lincoln Riley just announced that Caleb Williams will not participate in the Holiday Bowl. Like, that is no surprise right there. I mean, he's gone, right? I know he said it's a game-time decision January 15th, but we're going to see him at the next level next year, Des, right? Pretty much?
Absolutely, Rich. Absolutely. Yeah, I don't even know why they're playing that game like he's not coming out. There's no way he's coming back to U.S. Well, he's going back to USC and coming back for another year. There's no way that's going to happen.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So before I let you go, Desmond, let's talk about the third rail here. How about the Rose Bowl? You're an honorary captain for Michigan. And for Alabama, it's Paul Finebaum. What do you think? Let's get him an honorary captain. You know, he wants it. Right? Okay. Right? Am I wrong? You know, he wants it. He's kind of representing it. I'm having my fun that he doesn't want it. But are you ready? Are you ready for, if Michigan does win, him talking about an asterisk? Are you ready for that, Des? What do you think?
Paul Finebaum is a caricature of a caricature of Paul Finebaum. Like, that's what he is right now. You can't even take anything he says seriously. You just can't. It's like they march him out there. They pull the string in his back, and he just starts spewing negative things about Michigan. So, I mean, when a person does that repeatedly mm-hmm. and you just know his shtick, you can't take him seriously. You just take him for what he is. And that's how I look at Paul Finebaum. I was actually looking forward. I was on Get Up last Friday, and I was on with Finebaum. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to talk about the FSU and, you know, if they ran the table, would Alabama jump them or would Texas and blah, blah, blah. And because he was in the airport, he had to leave. We couldn't get into like a discussion because I wanted to talk to him about Ohio State. Because I had told Paul, I said, listen, first of all, on game day, when this story first broke and we were on the set and everybody's talking about this and talking about that, I said, you know what, guys? I said, if there's a silver lining to all this, I said, moving forward, there are no more excuses.
That's right.
I said, Purdue. I said, Penn State.
Michigan State first. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, Michigan State was that night. Exactly, Michigan State. But, you know, they came out and said they thought about canceling the game, and then they started to huddle up, whatever. So I said, listen, but these other teams, they got time. Like, they have time. If they need to change their signals or whatever they need to do, they have time. So because they have time, there are no more excuses. And not only that, you had Purdue, you had Penn State, you had Maryland and Ohio State. And then the Wolverines played their toughest part of their schedule with an interim head coach. So I said, well, what's the excuse now? Like I said, I want to tell Paul, at some point, Paul, you have to just admit that they're a pretty good team, that they execute very well, that they're well coached, because you have no other excuses. So that was the beauty of it. And I didn't get a chance to, I got robbed of that opportunity.
Well,
but that was exactly what I would have told Feinbaum, because it's true. It's facts.
Well, I feel like, you know, I put on my glasses. I'm a follically challenged Jewish man. I feel like I'll be a surrogate. You know, you could just tell me what you want to tell Feinbaum. But in all seriousness, it's kind of funny, Dez, because when it first came out, he thought it was a witch hunt on Harbaugh. He actually said those words. He said the words that it was a witch hunt on Harbaugh. What is this thing? And then, I don't know, he must have learned something or to kind of flip the script. And now it's so just get ready. Get ready, because it's SEC versus Harbaugh and Michigan now. And now, like, this is it. Like, it's the lone SEC team left. That's his part of the country. And it's Jim, which is like waving a red flag in front of a bull. I can't wait. Yep. They got to get you and Feinbaum together, you know, as honorary captains. Dez, let's do it.
I'll work on that.
Okay. And if I'm not mistaken, my first Rose Bowl that I covered and last and only was Bo's last game at the Rose Bowl. Okay. Yeah. And if I'm not mistaken, you played in that one, right? Like that you started. That's when you finally started to get going, you know?
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit. Yes, sir.
And you know what? And I think Jim's last Rose Bowl was his as a my freshman year, his senior year. I don't think he hasn't coached in it. He hasn't been there. It's all like he never went there at Stanford, obviously not with Michigan yet. It's going to be great. I can't wait for it. And I assume you'll be out here for it, right?
Yes, sir. I definitely will.
I gotta see you.
100%.
I gotta see you. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for coming on, Dez. Really appreciate it.
Rich, thanks, my man. You're the best. Thanks for having me.
You are too. At Desmond Howard. Go check out Dez on all his social media feeds, the one and only. Right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Do I look like Feinbaum to you? If I suit and tied it up and started talking smack?
I think Feinbaum's about 165, maybe. You'd have to drop about 40 pounds.
You mean I've got a few on him?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
I'd have to go.
Take all the tape. You got all the advantages.
Take all the tape.
So.
Introducing first. Fighting out of the red corner.
Reach, height, weight.
So you're saying that if there was a follically challenged, if there was a Russian nest doll of follically challenged Jewish men who talk in front of
he's
a microphone.
Inside of you.
You screw top me and inside is Feinbaum.
Well, there might be a few other people between you and Feinbaum.
Didn't know. Mean Gene wasn't a Jew, was he?
Oakland? I don't think so.
Okay, just checking out.
I just don't like the, you know, our people got to stop fighting, man. You know what I mean?
Okay. Oh, gosh. We'll take a break. Phone calls. Speaking of fighting, I mean, the officiating again. What is with Steeler fans? They want Tomlin out, is what you're saying?
Crazy.
With Sotyktu for moderate to severe plaque psoriasis, you could show off your skin again. And you know what that means?
Beach day.
As a TYK2 inhibitor, Sotyktu is the only once-daily pill of its kind for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Ask your dermatologist about Sotyktu today and learn more at SoClearlyYou.com. That's SoClearlyYou.com. Sotyktu, deucravacitinib, is a prescription treatment for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis who may benefit from systemic therapy or phototherapy. Don't take if you're allergic to Sotyktu. Serious reactions can occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections, including tuberculosis. Sotyktu can lower your ability to fight infections. Don't start if you have one. Serious infections, cancers including lymphoma, muscle problems, and changes in certain labs have occurred. Tell your doctor if you have a history of these events, or if you have an infection or symptoms like fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you have history of hepatitis B or C, liver or kidney problems, high triglycerides, or had a vaccine or plan to. Sotyktu inhibits TYK2, which is part of the JAK family. People 50 and older with heart disease risk factors who use a JAK inhibitor are at increased risk for certain side effects, sometimes fatal. It's unknown if Sotyktu has the same risks as JAK inhibitors. Call 1-888-SOTYKTU to learn more.
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets, but I did ask for help.
and Covenant House was there for me.
For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there. To learn more, go to safeplacetosleep.org today.
Let's talk Audible, people. Audible lets you enjoy all of your audio entertainment all in one app. Titles in every kind, in all categories. Wellness, bestsellers, and new releases, as well as podcasts and originals. And Audible members can keep one title a month from the entire catalog. You keep it. You'll always find the best of what you love or something new to discover. You know, I travel a lot, especially during football season. And right now, listening to player memoirs from Audible really helps me relax and pass the time on long flights. With the app, you can listen anywhere as it's all in one spot. Whether I'm on a transatlantic flight or on a long car ride with my family, I just put on an audiobook from Audible and boom. It's so easy to just listen. New members can try Audible now free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/Eisen or text Eisen to 500-500. That's audible.com/EISEN or text EISEN to 500-500 to try Audible free for 30 days.
What's the most pissed off you made Nick Saban ever?
Oh, when I took the sack second and 26 in a national championship.
That game? You mean the one that you immediately made up for with an amazing play puts you on the map?
Yeah,
That sack?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was the sack.
So walk me through how that, what he said to you, if you can, in a certain way on a live TV broadcast.
I mean, I could only see it on camera, you know, how mad he was. That was probably the most pissed off, though, I think he's ever been at me. He was squeezing his headset so hard. And then, you know, like, it was hard because the emotion was, like, so mad to so happy, you know, so fast for him. And, you know, we got into the locker room when everything settled down. I mean, he was still the same coach, you know. Yeah. He pulled me to the side. Like, well, what were you thinking, you know?
So like taking after the sack. After you won the game,
mm-hmm.
and you picking confetti out of your hair, he still took a moment moment to revisit that sack.
Yeah. Being who he is, I mean, you know, he pulled me to the side. He said, you know, well, why did you take the sack?
Right.
You know, and I thought it was a good time to joke with him, you know. So we won the national championship. So I told him, well, you know, we needed more room to throw the ball, coach. You know, and like he looked at me and like I was laughing. He's like, that's not funny. I didn't know what else to do in that situation. I was like, okay, I'm sorry, coach. So I shook his hand and he just moved on. I was like, oh. Like, oh man.
That's amazing.
I love that story. Yeah. That made me my favorite story the whole week. So you just figured, yeah, hey.
I was like, oh, maybe.
Just won it?
Yeah. Thought it was a good time to joke, but it wasn't.
Wow. Yeah, nope. It's never a good time, I guess, in that respect. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Radio Network back on the air. Rich Eisen Show desk. That's where I'm sitting. Furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Kenny Pickett is having surgery on a high ankle sprain. That's the old, it seems to me, the old tightrope, right?
Tightrope.
To get you back soon.
Yeah. Yep.
Which means it'll be Trubisky versus Zappy. Very peppy. Thursday night matchup. Zappy v. Trubisky.
Nobody asked for this.
No. You know what the total is in this game?
What do you mean total?
I mean,
like cereal?
I mean, total points scored. As
fiber count?
As predicted by Las Vegas.
Can we guess?
Is it very Iowa-like?
Can I? 32.
30 and a half.
I was going to say 30. I was going to say 30.
And guess what? About the under. Have you watched this Patriots team play? They cannot score. And now Ramondre Stevenson is out. Cannot score. What are we doing? I mean, it's just...
Well, first of all, let's hit the Steelers first.
All right.
And then we'll get to the Patriots.
They can't score either.
We'll get to the Patriots first. Because the Steelers are in a position for a playoff spot. Currently, you're 5 seed right now. They are.
Their defense is terrific. Right now.
They are. And so right now, in the wild card spot, this is wild. In the AFC, we're entering the season. We were all talking about how deep this conference is and tough the conference is because of how many terrific quarterbacks there are in it.
Yep.
And the wild card quarterbacks at present are Pittsburgh's Mitchell Trubisky, Cleveland's Joe Flacco, and Indianapolis's none other than the man himself. Say it. I know you like saying his name.
Tabak Gardner Minshew. That's it, baby. Tabak Gardner Minshew.
And he wins it in overtime in Tennessee.
I mean,
dude,
that's. I would have been.
You can't make it up. Can't make it up. And so Pittsburgh has an opportunity to still make the playoffs here. This is why they hold on to Mitchell Trubisky. This is why you have it. And the Jets are now on to quarterback who knows what. That's why you have him. And this is exactly now taking on New England here. And then I see them in Indianapolis for a huge football game between the two in week 15 in the middle of the NFL Network Saturday triple header. And this is where the rubber meets the road as they then take on Cincinnati at Seattle and at Baltimore to end it. And this is where you will watch Tomlin do his finest work. I know the offense stinks. I get it. And you're feeling how great it was, right? And Arizona comes in and beats you up in your house. Yeah. And the number of times we've seen coaches get on the hot seat because Arizona comes into your house and beats you up. That got Mike McCarthy, if you remember.
It did.
Arizona went into Lambeau, beat the Packers, and they told Mike, we're done.
Adios.
See ya. They did it to him
because
again.
Of that.
Yeah.
It's happened before. And if Steelers fans, I'll say it one more time. If you want this to be the moment the Steelers finally get rid of Mike Tomlin, you are out of your freaking minds. I will tell you this. We're hearing what? 7 to 10 jobs are open right now?
Yeah, 7 to 10.
And you can hear about the hot coordinators, and you could hear about my coach at Michigan, Jim Harbaugh, whoever might be. If this guy is put out on the market by the Pittsburgh Steelers, everyone will be falling all over themselves. And whatever the Steelers are paying him right now, he could double it. I'm telling everybody that. In the same way, you might not want to hear it, in the same way Brockman doesn't want to hear that quarterbacks who are less than are going to get market value just because it's their turn and it's their time. Mike Tomlin is one of the best coaches of all time. You will see him in the Hall of Fame one day. It's going to happen.
Oh, his bust is going to be amazing.
It's going to happen. We're going to see it. Steeler fans, I know you're very disappointed with that loss, and you can't believe what this and that, the other thing is. Hey, Pickett may not be the guy. It may have to take some time. Not everyone's apparently Jordan Love. Can you believe I'm saying that? But
took 3 years.
Or Stroud.
They gave him a 99-yard touchdown to Arizona. I know. That's kind of rough.
I know. It's, listen.
99-yard drive.
I know. Drive. I know. I saw.
Part of me, like...
Get out of here with that nonsense.
Would be like, yeah, I'd love to see Tomlin Please. Go just to see all these fans who I personally know some and I've read Steeler Twitter all the time. Would you rather be the Carolina Panthers on Coach 7 in, what, 3 years?
No, but again, it's just they're sick and tired of hearing the same cadence from the same person with the results being... just enough to make the playoffs and not go on a run and watching the Chiefs do what they're doing and seeing what the Bills doing, what they're doing, and even the Bengals are doing what they're doing. They got to get the quarterback right. And I don't know if Pickett's the right guy or not.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Pickett's going to be out for the next couple of weeks at least. But just watch. This is when Tomlin does his finest work. I can wind up being proven wrong with egg on my face, but I think they win this week against New England, and then we'll see what happens in Indianapolis.
Yeah, I don't have any doubts that they're going to win on Thursday, but they don't look like a playoff team right now. That's for sure.
Well, they're in the fifth seed right now. Oof. And then there's your Patriots, Chris.
Hey, they got it done yesterday.
How many? I know you say they got it done because your memo is tank. And I told you.
Yep. Just lose, baby.
The last lose, organization that will tank are the New England Patriots. They will not tank. Belichick is not going to sit here and think, how are we not going to do this week? My game plan is to just look good, get me some style points, or if there are any, and then let's just be done with it and keep losing.
No style points in a rainstorm.
The Crafts are not sitting there next to Sean McManus of CBS or whoever else is going to be there, Bon Jovi or whatever, and they're not flying all over to Germany.
Mark Wahlberg.
I'm telling you, when I saw them in Germany, they wanted to win that Germany game so badly.
Yep, 7 points.
They don't want to tank, and I kept thinking to myself, and I'm seeing Sully and Fitz in the crowd there cheering as Zappy was leading them down the field.
Sully.
I get it. They're not getting the memo either. Now, at one point, the Panthers did get the memo, which was to start winning some football games.
Yeah, they took the lead.
They took the lead in Tampa, and then they didn't focus on the memo.
Well, Mike Evans took over.
So, you know, and then the Cardinals, they got the memo. They won in Pittsburgh.
Start winning
you needed
games.
That, right? You needed games. Them to win games.
Oh,
right?
Pats are number two now, baby.
I believe perhaps part of the reason why you're seeing this up and down performance from all these people you need to work together is that we keep talking about a memo, but it's not actually in black and white. Maybe
did you get that memo?
If that's the issue, now have created one for you.
Oh,
Rich Eisen Consulting, amazing. Unbeknownst to you, there it is.
Did you see the memo about this?
In a Tank, LLC.
That's tremendous.
That's what we've called it.
That's tremendous.
There you are with your mug, with your arm leaning on the... RJ, you can come in here and hand out the handout. We've actually printed them out. RJ is handing them out. Rockman has one. RJ, hand one to...
This is tremendous.
TJ needs a memo.
From the desk.
So we've now officially got the memo, Mike. Now is when you actually could do the drop. Go for it.
Did you see the memo?
Now you've seen it. Okay, we're going to read it out.
Oh, this is fantastic.
All right. From In a Tank LLC Memorandum. From the desk of Chris Brockman to the Patriots, Panthers, and Cardinals.
Yes.
It has come to my attention that not everyone is on the same page to make my clear agenda a reality. New England must lose every remaining game, and Carolina must win at least one more, if not two. The Cardinals could keep on chopping wood like they did in Pittsburgh. Your immediate attention and focus on this crucial matter is an absolute must. Time for everyone to cut the crap. Thank you, Chris Brockman.
Well done. I mean,
did we find your voice?
I think you did.
And let's see how Earth responds to that.
We'll see.
Because we're number two now. So
you're two.
We're locked in.
You need Carolina.
But to get Caleb, we need Carolina to win a game.
Or two. So
this is great.
By the way, did RJ get his stapler back? Because I think your stapler's right there. Okay, very good.
Stapler. So it's really good. Me on
Hey, Lump. Peter, man.
There you go.
Did you get that memo?
There you go. We now have it.
We have it.
Well done.
We now have it.
Fantastic.
And I think this, we'll see what happens from here on out. Unfortunately, though, the Patriots do not like your memo. They don't want to hear from your memo.
Tough.
Belichick finds none of this humorous at all.
Too bad.
Because it's as bad. I can't believe we're in this position. I simply cannot. And now, I mean, it's going to be Zappy short week in Pittsburgh. They're going to come and decapitate him.
Yeah.
You know.
And Pittsburgh can't score. This is going to be another one of those 10-6 games. You know, the Patriots, did you see? We had talked about before, teams were 50-2, you know, allowing only 10 points and winning the game. The Patriots were the two losses.
Yeah, I've got those numbers here.
Now, for the first time since 1938, a team has given up 10 or less in three straight games, lost all three. We're setting records this year,
the
baby.
The last team to do it, the Chicago Cardinals, lost four such games in a row in 1938.
Well, it might happen again.
The last time the Patriots were shut out twice in one season was 92. Is that Dick McPherson?
Wow.
92?
Nah.
He has a computer in front of you.
Well, you're asking me.
Belichick's never been shut out twice in a single season. First time in franchise history being shut out twice at home in a single season.
It was Dick McPherson.
They don't want any piece of this. The Crafts want no piece of this, and nor does Belichick.
Guess who they want a piece of, though?
Caleb Williams. I get it.
Caleb Williams. We'll see. You got to keep losing, man.
Well, you now have a memo.
Stick to the game plan.
From In a Tank, LLC.
In a Tank is well done.
Okay. You're welcome. See? RES Consulting working for you, even though you don't know it exists.
Get me that Caleb jersey.
Did you see the memo?
Thank you very much. Let's take a break. Phone calls to wrap up this program. 844-204. Rich, number to dial.
That's funny.
You know, in today's world, it seems the best treatment is reserved only for a few. Well, Discover wants to change that by making everyone feel special. That's why with your Discover card, you have access to 24/7 live customer service as well as $0 fraud liability, which means you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases. Finally, no matter who you are or where you are in life, you'll feel special with Discover. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard. Limitations apply. All right, folks, let's talk about game time, and let's talk about buying tickets to big time events, because it can be worrisome, it can be time consuming, and it can be expensive. So Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. You can see the view from your seat before you buy, so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. They have all-in prices that show you your total up front, so you know you're getting a great deal without hidden fees. And how easy is it to use? You can buy tickets on Game Time in seconds with two taps, and there's a Game Time guarantee, which means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. It is so awesome. I use it. You should as well. For sports, music, comedy, did I mention theater events? All near you. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, it's so easy, and use code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Again, create an account and redeem the code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. All right, before our radio audience returns, Ken Tulo of the Rich Eisen Show staff has phoned in because he has some expertise of security on the sidelines to talk about what went down with Big Dom on the sideline in Philadelphia. What's up, Kenny? You there?
How you doing, Rich?
What perspective can you offer us, sir?
So Ken, this is I moonlight on weekends, Rich. RE Consulting has expanded to RE Security.
Nice.
it's my first season doing on-field security for NFL games at SoFi.
Mm-hmm.
So I tell you, I have a lot of respect for all security personnel now, having worked it, in terms, it's really exciting. You know, you're in the mix, but it's grueling, you know, being on your feet for all day. And, you know, also you're in harm's way, you know, in terms of field incursions from fans and also players crashing into the sidelines. You guys are talking about that a little bit. But with Big Dom, you know, and for my training, your main job is to protect the players and coaches from the sidelines. From field incursions on the sidelines. It's not to be a bouncer at a club down in South Jersey. Like Mike, he was.
okay.
You know, yeah, you're not breaking up fights there, and your main job, you're not trying to be part of the game. You don't make yourself part of the game.
I know. I'm sure he's miserable today that he's being discussed. So, do you think the league's going to come down on the Eagles?
Big Dom's in big trouble.
Okay.
He's in big trouble today. There's no doubt about it. I would be surprised if he's anywhere near the sidelines the rest of the season.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised either. All right, Kenny. Thanks for the time, brother. Appreciate it.
You got it.
We'll chat again soon.
See you, Kenny.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
Kenny the cleaner.
Yeah.
Kenny the cleaner.
I'm sure Big Dom is not a happy camper today.
Yeah.
At all.
Tough spot.
You think?
It happened right in front of him. I mean,
it's not like it's the biggest NFL audience of the year. Oh, wait a minute.
Instinct took over.
Pretty much is. Stream the NFL on Westwood One for free, sponsored by AutoZone, including tonight. Every Westwood One broadcast, the NFL is live on the NFL app. You can get it by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports or on your Westwood One affiliate stations, digital platforms. Kevin Harlan, Kurt Warner in the booth, me in the studio. For free, and get in the zone with AutoZone. AutoZone's free battery testing and charging is available for free at your local AutoZone. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Restrictions apply. Let us go to Rooster in Austin, Texas. What's up, Rooster?
Hey, how's everybody doing today?
What's going on,
Rooster?
How you been?
Hey, last time I called in, Susie was at the desk furnished by Granger, so I finally get to talk to Rich. Congratulations on your Wolverines and our Austin.
Yep.
Texas Longhorns.
Congratulations to you. Yeah.
I'm calling about my 49ers dismantling the Eagles. I knew it was going to be a blowout.
Oh, well, I mean, you should have called in before then, Rooster. I mean, Chris would have loved that. Yeah, I know.
I would have not bet the Eagles.
I'm busy doing these e-bike tours down here. Everybody loves these tours, so I couldn't call in. But okay. I'm definitely calling in today, and thank you for having me again. About the Niners and TJ, this is going to be the first time I'm rooting for your Cowboys next week.
There you go.
My life.
Strangest bedfellows, man.
We need them to beat the Eagles and copy exactly what the Niners did.
There you go. But thanks for the call, Rooster.
I hope they have the tape, Rooster.
Yep, he just gave you the rope. Strange bedfellows. Strangest bedfellows, because you were rooting for the Niners yesterday.
I mean, I can't say that.
Either way, you know. It's like me watching Ohio State and Penn State.
I was rooting for a 0-0 tie.
Ohio State and Notre Dame. I'm like, can we? Yeah,
you're rooting for the Meteor.
I was rooting. I know. And instead, I got only 10 Meteor, men on the field. Derek in Missouri, you're on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Derek? Derek, you there?
Hey, Rick. Once again, how are you, sir?
What's on your mind, sir?
Well, I would be hoping I would be calling you once again after a Broncos victory, but that was unfortunately not the case yesterday. You got to give Houston its credit where credit's due. I mean, C.J. Stroud is becoming a real deal, no doubt about it. But once again, I'm with you on a Monday discussing the officiating in the NFL. After what we saw last night in Green Bay, the game was great up until his last 2 minutes.
That was wild.
Pat Mahomes gets hit when he's in bounds. They call a flag. And you see two of, if not the worst, not pass interference calls, hands down, so far this season in my mind. I mean, it's getting to the point where I feel like I'm reliving 2012 all over again. But it's officiating with the replacement refs.
Derek, I appreciate it. Thank you for the call. I don't blame you for feeling that way. And we discussed it last week with Dean Blandino here, former head of NFL refs, now Fox Rules analyst, even Stone Street. Eric Stone Street, diehard Chiefs fan, saying that he sometimes texts Roger Goodell about officiating during the games. I'm sure, you know, he might have reached out to who he refers to as the goods last night when there was no flag on the clear pass interference on Marquez Valdes-Scantling, which would have put the ball inside the five and Mahomes having a handful of shots to score the touchdown that would lead to the game-tying two-point conversion. But no, didn't happen. Now, I keep saying this, replay assist, I don't know when they don't chime in for some reason. They'll chime in to say that knee was down, up, that butt was down, that this was down, and then when something like Mahomes happens on the sideline and, you know, there's a flag on the play, replay assist, when there's a flag on the play, should chime in and say, Mahomes was inbounds.
Pick up
the flag. Yep. And the way to do it is you get in the ears of the officials. They're already huddling up to discuss it. Give them an extra 10, 15 seconds. Certainly when their clock's not rolling, that's exactly when replay assist should chime in. Clock's not rolling, flag on the play to pick it up. Not when the clock's rolling, like say when there was a clear moment where there was an out-of-bounds play in those last 2 minutes as well where the officials stopped the clock and the clock should have kept rolling. You can't chime in there. And, you know, you can't chime in when there's no pass interference, when there should have been a call because we got rid of that a couple of years ago. But you sure can chime in to make at least one of them right.
Especially when it was a huge moment in the game.
And Justin Herbert must be sitting at home like, what gives? I got blown up when I was way up further out of bounds than that, and you didn't call it, and my offensive lineman who was sticking up for me gets called for a 15-yard penalty.
Ridiculous.
And that's another thing. Like, Isaiah Pacheco gets ejected from a game because of a sequence that ensued after Rashee Rice's butt was on the ground, but the replay is there, so the officials let it go, just in case that was a fumble.
Yeah.
So shouldn't whatever happens after we go and replay and say the play ended with the butt down, that anything that happened after that is completely thrown out too?
Just men in black.
I don't know. But again, replay assist should be there, and the league should absolutely use it for something like the Mahomes play. And the pass interference play, I don't know what to say. The whole country saw it, and it's unfortunate that they blew it. And the refs have got to ref better. I don't know how to do it. I don't know if we make them full-time, year-round, what to do. But that was pretty brutal. We'll be back to wrap up our Monday show in a moment.
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
1995, when WCW announces they're going to be live and head-to-head with Monday Night Raw, feels like this would have been something Vince would have kind of laughed off.
No, we did not like them moving to Monday nights. There were a lot of hotels. They all carried CNN, TBS, and TNT. Vince was convinced that Ted Turner had deviously done this deal to get in the hotels and keep us out.
Something to Wrestle, wherever you listen.